Excited to say that tonight is the last night that we are planning on doing just an online service. Starting next week, June the 10th, we will have an auditorium class here at the building for everyone to join in. This is a new special series that has been put together entitled Jesus Is. And there will be several different names that we'll talk about in this series, such as the Christ, the Intercessor, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, the Wonderful Savior. And some of the speakers will include Matt Sokolowski, Larry Sweeney, Rick Brumback, Ethan Harden, Wayne Scott, David Wade, David Sweeney. And we're looking forward to being with you starting next week at 6 p.m. here in the auditorium for this special series on Jesus Is. On June 17th, which is 1 week later, we will begin having modified children's classes for ages kindergarten and up, and we'll be talking with you more about that on how those will look in the very near future. So be looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to being with you all here live on June the 10th for this Bible class. You know, directions are important. If you were to ask any teenager or young person today how to get from point A to point B, starting in Henderson and maybe going to some other point, the first thing they would do is probably say, well, I don't know how to get there. Or maybe they would say, well, let me check my phone. Let me pull up my GPS and give me the address and I'll put it in and it'll take me step by step to get there. I remember as a child, we would take trips as a family, and of course we always had some kind of camper or some kind of motor home. My dad was a real big fan of those, and we had a lot of great trips on those, and we would just go. And I always trusted that he knew where he was going, and we typically got to where the destination was, and I just assumed that he knew where he was going, and it's very possible that he did. He's usually pretty directionally functional. Some folks are directionally challenged, but he's pretty good with that. But probably he had a road map. Most people don't even know what a road map is anymore, or an atlas. We go straight to the GPS app on our phone, or sometimes we even have it plugged into our cars right there for us. It's important to know where you're going. Now, the simple things are north is up, south is down, east is to the right, and west is to the left. But what if you don't have a map? What if you don't have GPS and you find yourself directionally challenged and you don't know where you are and you don't know where to get to where you're going? Where do you find yourself? And there's one word: lost. You're lost and you're not sure where to go. You're in trouble. And this happens physically, obviously. We've probably all found ourselves in a car somewhere, turned around, gone to the wrong place, and we think, man, I'm lost. Well, this happens spiritually as well, which is what I want to talk about tonight a little bit. Let me ask you three questions. Do you have problems? Are you confused, maybe, about how life is going? Are you lost and you have a sense of despair? If you answered yes to any of those questions, I want you to hear me when I say this. You are not alone. We all have problems. From time to time, we all struggle with life and trying to figure life out. And from time to time, because of sin, we're all lost. I want to encourage you tonight to think very appreciatively and thankfully that when we answer yes to these questions, we have a solution. We have an answer to all of those questions. And that answer is this: Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. If you have your Bibles in front of you, I'd encourage you to flip over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and I want to read the first six verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the way to everything that is truly good, both in this earthly life that we are navigating and in the heavenly life to come if we are found faithful. And tonight, as we study for a few minutes, I would like to talk about five ways, if you will, that I believe Jesus is the way. First off, Jesus is the way to a better life. If one were to ask you, what was Jesus' purpose on life? What would you say? Would you say, well, he came to die on the cross. He came to teach us. He came to love us. And I believe all of those answers would be correct. The scripture tells us in Luke chapter 19, in verse 10, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. The Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. And over in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus, came that they may have life and to have it abundantly. That was Jesus' purpose, to help us to have an abundant life, to seek and save those who were lost. Jesus assures us of a couple of things. Number one, that loving the Father in heaven, that we have a loving Father in heaven that cares for His children. Remember what Matthew says in chapter 6, starting in verse 31. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have a loving Father in heaven who cares for us, and our needs will be sufficiently met for those of us who follow Him. Flip over in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. I want to read two verses, verses 29 and 30 of Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. It should not be surprising to us to find that the happiest people in the world are those who have completely dedicated and committed themselves to following Jesus. Think about some of the senior members that we've had here at the Henderson Church who have gone on to receive their reward. Think about the faithfulness the example of faithfulness that they gave each one of us. Even those that are still with us and are here every time the doors open. I was talking to one of our elders just the other day, and he was telling me how his mother-in-law was not going to miss the services of the Lord's church. And she's in her 90s. She is completely committed to following and obeying God. And what a great example that is. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 11. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Paul knew the better way was Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ was the way to a better life. Think about what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with joy. Jesus is the way to a better life. Number two, Jesus is the way to the forgiveness of sins. Unfortunately, this is a universal problem. No one is exempt. You recall what Romans says in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus is the only solution to a universal problem. And God made forgiveness possible through Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Forgiveness is possible through Jesus Christ. And Jesus' blood that He poured out on the cross is what makes forgiveness possible. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Jesus' blood cleanses us from sin. Now there's some things that we have to do in order to receive this forgiveness. We must repent. We must repent in order to receive forgiveness. And it requires faith. It requires baptism. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Isaiah chapter 59 reminds us that our sins separate us from God. There's a void. There's a gap. There's a chasm, if you will, between us and God. And Jesus is that bridge. His blood, His sacrifice on the cross cleansed our sins, redeemed us from sins. And when we repent of our sins, we confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When we are baptized for the remission of our sins, they are washed away, and we are clean. Jesus is the way to the forgiveness of sins. And in order to be happy, not only do we need forgiveness of sin, but we need to be restored back to a close relationship with God. Remember, Isaiah 59 says, our sins have separated us from God. And so in order for us to have a close relationship with God, our sins have to be forgiven. And Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Number three, Jesus is the way to God. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. I want to look at chapter 5, starting in verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Jesus came to eradicate sin and to reconcile us to God. Remember what he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, the first verses that we looked at tonight. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Flip over to John chapter 17. We want eternal life. That is what the Christian should desire. We want eternal life. We want to be in heaven with God, with Jesus, with a host of angels, with all of those who have gone before us. We want to be there. Jesus prayed for that. He prayed for an intimate relationship with God, as well as the Son. John chapter 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is the way to God. Number four, Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. It doesn't take much to look around our world and recognize that there are a lot of different churches. I'm not going to name any of those churches. You know what they are. You see them. You pass by them every day in town. There's differences. There's differences between what the Bible teaches and what those churches teach. And it's important to find out what the Bible teaches on things relating to the church. It's confusing. Our teenagers ask a lot of times, how is our church different from this church? How is our church different from this church? what does our church believe versus what does this church believe? It's confusing. The Bible provides all of the answers. And I would suggest to you that Jesus does not approve of this confusion that was not created, by the way, by Him, but was created by men. It was created by the world. Again, in John chapter 17, looking at verse 20. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Jesus is praying for unity. He's praying for unity. And the question may be asked, can we have this unity? I would say, absolutely, yes, we can. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will build my church. Singular. One. It's what Jesus designed. He prayed for unity. The problem becomes when Satan and even men try to destroy and change the church. That's why you find so many churches and religious organizations in our world. Jesus established one church. And if you have any doubts, if you're watching this tonight and you are not a part of the Lord's body, the Lord's church, and you are confused about what is right, I would encourage you to read in the book of Acts and how the church was established, what the disciples did, how salvation was achieved through baptism. You won't hear things that the world teaches, like a special prayer or a sprinkling, or any other number of ways that men try to say is a better way than what God says. When someone is baptized for the remission of their sins, the Lord adds them to His church. Singular. Acts 2:47. And in His church, turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. In His church, we can enjoy the unity that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Ephesians 4, starting with verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Is unity possible? Yes. But men have to get out of the way and allow God to be heard. It's found only as we follow Jesus as the way out of religious confusion. If you're listening to to anyone other than God for your authority on all spiritual matters, you're listening to the wrong person. Jesus is the way. And lastly, Jesus is the way to eternal life. Death is inevitable. And in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 27, it says this: "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him." Death will become the door to either eternal life or to eternal condemnation. Flip over again to the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning in verse 31. And this is a little lengthy reading, but it's important to hear. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will then say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me food. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed Me. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the King will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, My brothers, you did it to Me.' Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome Me. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then He will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life.'" Death will either become the door to eternal life or to eternal condemnation. I want to end tonight by reading a verse from Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, 'Write this: Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them.'" To die in Jesus is to die in the way to eternal life. Jesus is the way to a better life. Jesus is the way to the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. And Jesus is the way to eternal life. May God bless all of us as we try very diligently to follow Jesus the way. Let us pray. Father, thank you for our time tonight. We're thankful for this church. We're thankful for our elders that provide for our spiritual growth. Thank you for your word, Father, that we can open it up and listen to what you want us to hear and know what you want us to know about life, both this earthly life and the heavenly life to come. Thank you, Father, for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And help us, Father, to follow him completely all the rest of our lives, so that when death does come upon us, you will know who we are. You will look upon us and say, "Well done. Welcome into the joys of your Lord." Be with those that are struggling with their health. Forgive all of us that are struggling with sin. Give us strength, patience, and wisdom every day. In Jesus' name.